Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Immanuel Kant's Prolegomena to Any Future Metaphysics, in the preamble on the peculiarities of all metaphysical cognition, there's going to be a significant question that gets posed in the fifth and final section, which is titled, The General Question, How is Cognition from Pure Reason Possible? And cognition is erkenntnis, right? Or knowledge, we could say. And he talks there first about pure reason, but as we're going to see, it can be reformulated in a very important way. And before we jump into that, we have to back up just a little bit into the end of the previous section where he is talking about not assuming metaphysics to be an actual science, but we can say with confidence that certain pure a priori synthetic cognitions are actual, wirklich, and given. And what are these? Well, pure mathematics and pure physics, which he is going to examine next after this preamble in the first and second part. And he says that, you know, these show us that there are domains of a priori synthetic cognitions, because that's what mathematics is. That's what pure physics is. The question is, do we have this in other areas? And he tells us that what this shows is that the question isn't whether, ob in German, right, ob sie möglich sei, right, whether they are possible, but rather how, wie, how they are possible, and not just in these two domains of pure mathematics and pure physics, but if we're going to have metaphysics, we got to show how metaphysical judgments, cognitions, propositions that are synthetic a priori are actually possible. And he tells us that, you know, moving into the section, this is really only an issue for synthetic a priori judgments. Why? Well, because if we're talking about synthetic a posteriori, that is things that we're learning through experience, he says that these don't require any special explanation because experience is nothing but a continual joining together, that is a synthesis of perception. So a posteriori synthetic, not a problem at all. What about a priori analytic judgments? Not a problem either, right? Because that's just a matter of like sifting things until we see how they actually fit together. He says that the possibility of analytic propositions easily comprehended. Why? Because it's founded on the principle of contradiction. So we need to figure out what is the possibility, how are they possible, these other types of propositions, judgments, bits of knowledge, cognitions, synthetic ones that are a priori. And again, he reaffirms, we don't need to show whether they're possible. We know that they're possible. We need to ask how they are possible, right? And so he says, we'll start from the fact that such synthetic but purely rational cognition, so there's where we get the term, actually exists. But we must now inquire into the ground of this possibility, ask how this is possible, in order that we can determine the conditions of its use, right? Its sphere or extent and its limits. So these are the things that Kant is really interested in doing for metaphysics. And he says, the proper problem on which all depends when expressed with scholastic precision is this. How are synthetic propositions a priori possible? And he says, just so I could make this a little bit more popular, I could make it understandable by ordinary people, perhaps, I've expressed this somewhat differently as an inquiry into purely rational cognition. And, you know, that's fine because these are essentially equivalent to each other, right? What we're getting through pure rational cognition is not going to be experiential. So it's not a posteriori, it's a priori. And we're asking about not analytic, but synthetic propositions. So he tells us, if you want to do metaphysics, metaphysics' existence depends on this. He actually says it rises or falls, right? It stands or it falls down based on how we, or whether we answer this question about the how. So he tells us, let anyone make metaphysical assertions with so much plausibility. If he has not first been able to answer this question satisfactorily, I have the right to say this is all vain. You speak through pure reason and claim, as it were, so these are the claims that are made by previous metaphysicians, to create cognitions a priori, not just by dissecting given concepts. Now, that would be analytic. Kant's fine with doing that, right? Although he says, or a little bit earlier, well, that's not really what metaphysics is all about. It is synthetic, otherwise it doesn't advance our knowledge, but by asserting connections which do not rest on the principle of contradiction, and here's the kicker, you believe you conceive quite independently of all experience. How do you arrive at this? Where are you getting these cognitions that you're using and making reference to as metaphysics? Where are you getting these from? And so he goes on and he says, an appeal to common sense, not going to cut it. That doesn't work. Who does he have in mind with this? Probably the British critics of Hume, who he's already talked about before. And he says that this is a question that is very important, and a lot of people haven't asked it. Who did? David Hume. David Hume did it in a partial way. He criticized the notion of causality, which is pretty important for metaphysics, isn't it, right? Getting beyond the realm of just appearances, the phenomenal world, and figuring out what actually causes things, what makes them be what they are. And Hume says, listen, we don't get some sort of access to this metaphysical world that you're talking about. He says, David Hume did not conceive the question in its entire universality. He asks, how is it possible when a concept is given to me, I can go beyond it, so that's synthetic, and connect it with another matter which is not contained in it in such a manner as if the latter necessarily belonged to the former. Nothing but experience can furnish us with these connections, and all that vaunted necessity, or at the same time cognition assumed to be a priori, is nothing but a long habit of accepting something as true and mistaking subjective necessity for objective. So he's saying, all right, you know, you previous metaphysicians, Hume has dealt you a blow. However, there is a solution to this. My critical philosophy, what I've actually provided you with in the Critique of Pure Reason, which we typically call the first critique now because there are three critiques, right? There's only one at the time that he's writing this. And so he says that you can check out my works that cost years to solve the problem in its whole universality, right? And then to exhibit it in the analytical form, that's what I'm doing for you here. And then he also says something else. Hey, if you think you can do a better job, right? Should my reader complain of the difficulty and the trouble which I occasion him in the solution of this problem? He's at liberty to solve it himself in an easier way, right? So if you think you got a better solution to this issue, you go ahead and try it. Kant thinks, of course, that you don't. And then he's going to go on and make an interesting judgment, which reflects what he said just a little bit earlier. But now he's going to frame it in terms of a law, we could say, a judgment. All metaphysicians are solemnly and legally suspended from their occupations till they have satisfactorily answered the question, how are synthetic cognitions a priori possible? And he says, if you don't have that, you don't have credentials, right? You can't go into metaphysics land without that. Now notice that Kant is legislating. He's actually using the term law here for everybody prior to him, everybody at his time, everybody coming down the line. It's quite a bold statement, isn't it there? And their occupations, what does this mean? You can't do metaphysics until you've actually resolved this issue. And not just in its partial way, like figuring out causality. You can't just talk about the problem of induction or something like that. You need to see this as a general issue that affects all metaphysics, right? So what is the solution here? Kant's, as he says, the entire transcendental philosophy. At this time, what is contained in the Critique of Pure Reason and what is being reworked through in the Prolegomena. And so, you know, he's saying, if you want a way out of this problem, you are going to have to work through the path that I have gone on. And he says that this necessarily precedes all metaphysics. So the transcendental philosophy is the answer to this question. Notice we're not getting a full answer here in the Prolegomena at this point. Kant is more saying, listen, you'll get to see it as you work your way through the whole thing. It all holds together as a system. So, really important question according to Kant, so important that it can deprive metaphysics of their, metaphysicians rather, of their occupation, but that's only because they haven't actually been doing genuine metaphysics up until this point, according to Kant.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.